Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and with me as always is my partner in crime, Cor. How are you doing, Cor?
Hey Jack, I'm all fired up and ready to dive into today's topics. We've got a jam-packed episode for you all, so let's not waste any time and get right into it.
Absolutely. On today's menu, we have some exciting discussions lined up. We're going to explore the current state of AI and its impact on the job market. Then we'll pivot to the buzz around Web 3.0 and the revolution it promises for the internet. And spoiler alert, it's not just about cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, and we know you all love a good debate, so we're adding a dash of politics into the mix. We'll take a deep dive into the recent regulatory updates affecting the technology sector. Spoiler, it's a bit of a roller coaster.
Oh, for sure, Cor. But before we dive in, let's give a shout out to all our listeners. Whether you're tuning in from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or watching us on YouTube, thank you for your support. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Definitely. Your feedback keeps us going and helps us make each episode better. And hey, if you have any topics you want us to cover, hit us up on Twitter or our website. We love hearing from you.
All right, enough of the pleasantries. Let's get to the meat of the episode. First up, artificial intelligence and its growing influence on the job market. Cor, what's your take on this?
Jack, it's like we're living in a sci-fi movie. With AI becoming more advanced, it's reshaping the job landscape in ways we never imagined. But here's the kicker. While some jobs are getting automated, new ones are being created. It's a double-edged sword.
Exactly, Cor. And we've got some data to back that up. Recent studies show that while AI and automation will displace certain types of work, they will also lead to the creation of new industries and job roles. It's an evolving landscape, folks.
And that's what I love about tech. It's not a zero-sum game. There's always room for innovation and adaptation. Plus, who doesn't want to have a robot butler someday, right?
Haha, true that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Moving on, Web 3.0, the next evolution of the internet. Buzzword or breakthrough?
Oh, it's definitely more than just a buzzword, Jack. Web 3.0 is all about decentralization and giving power back to the users. Imagine a world where you own your own data and have true control over your digital identity. It's a game changer.
But with great power comes great responsibility. Are users ready for this shift? And what about the potential regulatory challenges? That's what we're going to break down next.
Oh, I've got some strong opinions on this one, but we'll save that for later in the show. Guys, grab your popcorn. It's going to be a lively debate.
All right, buckle up, everyone. We're just getting started. Stay tuned as we unpack these topics and more, right here on AI Unchained.
Let's go.
All right, Cor, let's dive into the guts of OpenTitan. It's the first commercially available open source root of trust, RATI, that supports post-quantum cryptography. That's a mouthful, but essentially, it's a chip designed to secure systems even against future threats from quantum computers. What's your take on this leap forward?
It's fascinating, Jack. The concept of post-quantum cryptography is like securing your house against burglaries when the burglars don't even exist yet. We're talking about anticipating threats that are still on the horizon. Quantum computers have the potential to break classical encryption methods like RSA, which could undermine a lot of current security protocols. So, having an ROT that's ready for this kind of threat is a game changer.
Absolutely. And what's even cooler is that by making this an open source project, OpenTitan ensures transparency and verifiability. Anyone can look under the hood and check if everything's as secure as it should be. Imagine no more mysterious black boxes where you just have to trust the manufacturer with your data.
Yeah, transparency in security hardware is huge. People today are more skeptical about trusting tech companies blindly, especially with all the data breaches we've seen in recent years. Allowing independent verification means that even other tech developers can use OpenTitan's IP for their projects. It's like if IKEA released the blueprints for their furniture and said, hey, feel free to make your own Billy bookcase.
And speaking of practical applications, I think the use of this high-quality IP could revolutionize sectors beyond just tech. Think critical infrastructures like healthcare, banking, and even electric grids. The same principles that underpin OpenTitan security could be applied to secure these essential services against future quantum threats.
Definitely. And don't forget secure boot processes too. With OpenTitan, devices can be more resilient against advanced threats from initial boot up, making it much harder for adversaries to compromise the system right at the start. It's like having a guard inside your computer that can stay ahead of the most formidable burglars.
Right on. It's also worth noting how the OpenTitan chips can prevent issues through features like the OIDC migration, which could thwart attacks that rely on stolen digital tokens. Unlike traditional authentication methods, this would require a cryptographic attestation that is unique to each action, making it way tougher for hackers to manipulate systems.
And to connect the dots here, we have to think about how this aligns with other emerging technology trends. We see a lot of political and business narratives converging around enhanced cybersecurity. For instance, let's touch on Eric Trump's recent comments about banks and cryptocurrencies. He and a bunch of other figures in the crypto space are actively discussing how regulations and secure infrastructures can develop in parallel.
That's a good pivot, Core. Trump's comments highlight the ongoing tug of war between traditional financial institutions and the emerging crypto landscape, where the need for security pivots at every attempt of regulatory and legislative intervention. With firms like OpenTitan paving the way, it's clear that stronger security and transparent systems could foster better trust in both fintech and crypto sectors.
Agreed. And it's ironic yet impactful that as these state-of-the-art tech layers are being developed, the underlying principles of decentralization, transparency, and innovation are at their core. The role that open source projects play in this is monumental. They're driving change from grassroots while ensuring that technology remains robust and future-proof.
Well, this discussion certainly gave us plenty of food for thought. It's a testament to how interconnected our tech, business, and political realms have become. With innovations like OpenTitan, it feels like we're not just preparing for the future, we're actively shaping it.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Jack. Here's to hoping we see more of such initiatives and fewer breaches and hacks. The future of cybersecurity is definitely shaping up to be an exciting one.
Absolutely. Now, let's gear up for our next topic because there's always more to uncover. Let's dive into how AI and data analytics are revolutionizing yet another aspect of our lives. You know, Core, all of this new tech that's evolving and sometimes mutating is fascinating. But let's talk about the whole ULs to ALs transition. It's like saying goodbye to an old friend, isn't it? Ha! Digital psychic. That's one way to put it. But let's get real here for a second. Do we really need AI-empowered directory intelligence to pick our files for us? What's next? An AI deciding which socks I should wear based on my calendar?
Oh no, Jack. Let's not give them any ideas. I get that ALS is more about improving efficiency, but there's a certain charm, or let's say, a sense of control, with doing things manually. Think about it. When you use LS, you know exactly what you're looking at. You don't need a robot telling you, hey, Jack, I think you meant this file.
True. There's definitely a beauty in simplicity. Plus, command line veterans might feel betrayed. But the new generation? They seem totally ready to embrace AI in everything. And I do mean everything. Even picking socks wouldn't surprise them.
Speaking of AI and everything, did you catch the recent incident with the AI tool called Klein? It's a prime example of how AI can go rogue. This AI triage bot interpreted a GitHub issue title and ended up installing a malicious package, which then deployed another AI agent. It's like AI Inception, but for hackers.
That's wild. I mean, step aside humans. Now we have AI on AI attacks. The bot read some natural language and got tricked into executing harmful code. It's both fascinating and terrifying. Just to think, a simple issue title could turn the triage bot against us.
Yeah, and it really brings up some crucial points about AI security. We often think about what AI can do to help us, but we're now forced to consider what AI can do to us, or even against us. This calls for more robust AI governance policies.
Absolutely. Developers really need to ensure every single input to these AI models is sanitized, that there are safeguards in place, and maybe even a human in the loop for crucial steps. The potential for damage is massive otherwise.
For sure. And on the subject of robust oversight, what about U.S. regulators potentially requiring approval for shipping AI chips outside the country? Talk about tightening the leashes.
Oh, the chips are down. Literally. It's heavy-handed, but the idea is to prevent other countries from harnessing this powerful tech potentially against U.S. interests. However, this could also stifle innovation. Companies might shy away from U.S. chips and start looking elsewhere to avoid red tape.
Right, and that's not what we want. Proliferating technology safely without compromising innovation is a delicate balance. It's like walking a tightrope. But do you think such measures are warranted?
Honestly, given the stakes, maybe. AI is unlike any tech revolution we've seen. It can amplify anything, both good and bad. We just have to ensure those measures don't end up hamstringing our own industries in the race.
True. And speaking of races, Amazon Connect Health now in the healthcare game with AI? Automating administrative tasks is big, but it's also, you know, treading on very regulated grounds. HIPAA compliance, anyone?
No kidding. Healthcare is so data sensitive that one slip can cost lives, not to mention the immense legal fallout. But if done right, AI can genuinely transform the sector, improving efficiency and reducing burnout. It's a high-stakes game.
Indeed. The story everywhere seems to be balance. Balancing innovation with control, privacy with functionality, and most critically, human oversight with automated brilliance. It's an intricate dance, and it will be fascinating to see who leads and who follows.
Well said. The dance of progress has begun, and every step will matter. Here's to hoping we all stay in rhythm. And who knows, maybe I'll let AI help pick my socks someday after all.
When that day comes, Jack, you better tell me which color combo it picked for you. I'll be waiting.
Deal. Core. Deal. So, Core, we were just talking about the tension between branding and good design. I mean, look at it this way. While branding needs to stand out, good design is about finding that right answer, which often means things start to look similar because they're optimized.
Right, Jack. It's like trying to balance on a tightrope. Branding needs to be this unique, identifiable feature, but good design seeks efficiency and functionality, which can get pretty uniform. It's no surprise you see those distinct, but let's face it, sometimes weird brand designs.
Yeah, you know, it's like those luxury fashion watches that nobody actually uses to tell time. They exist to scream status rather than being practical. This is branding overruling design. I mean, who wears a watch just to check their Instagram following nowadays?
Haha, true. But it's not just about status. It's about creating an entire experience, right? Brands want you to feel a certain way when you interact with their product, even if that means sacrificing a bit of practicality. Think of it as Apple's minimalist design versus any classic Swiss watch's intricate details.
Absolutely. But then it makes you wonder, where's the line? At what point does branding stop enhancing your experience and start to become just noise?
Good point, Jack. And it doesn't help that sometimes the most bizarre designs get labeled as innovative or artistic when really, they're just hiding behind the unique tag to cover up bad design choices.
Exactly. It's a sneaky game. And it reminds me so much of that whole fake it till you make it startup culture. Speaking of sneaky, let's pivot a bit here to something incredible, but perhaps less talked about, the concept of OpenTitan.
Yes, OpenTitan. Now here's something designed with transparency and security in mind. An open source silicon root of trust project, it aims to be the go-to solution for silicon-based security architecture. This is the kind of collaboration we need more in the tech world, one that's grounded in reality and governed by real-world needs.
Totally. And it's so exciting because this essentially opens the gates for more secure hardware innovations, but without the proprietary restrictions that usually bog down security enhancements. And with low risk jumping in and introducing new membership tiers, you can only imagine how versatile and robust the ecosystem could become.
Definitely. Now, let's swing back a bit to that branding versus design topic. Have you ever noticed how, in a world run by brands, things can start looking like a scene straight out of a dystopian movie?
Oh man, yes. Imagine walking through Times Square, but everything's Times Square. You've got logos and distinctive looks everywhere, but it feels dissonant, almost like a sensory overload.
That's not just branding's fault, though. It's human psychology. We want to be unique, yet be part of a tribe. Branding plays into that by creating tribes around products. Look at Tesla fans versus traditional car lovers, or iPhone loyalists versus Android enthusiasts.
So true. By the way, it's not just tech and fashion. You see this in sports, entertainment, and beyond. Remember when the Golden State Warriors suddenly brought back outdated designs just to trigger nostalgia?
Yeah. They did it to reinvigorate interest, and it worked. That's clever branding taking advantage of good design principles from the past. but it also proves that design answers don't always stay the same. They evolve with human behaviors and trends.
Kind of ironic, huh? Brands often turn back to tried and tested designs when they need a boost. So while good design might converge on the right answer over time, branding spices it up just enough to keep things interesting.
Always playing the game. Speaking of games, did you catch anything about TechCrunch Disrupt 2026? The buzz seems unreal, and you just know there are going to be some breakout startups focusing on balancing that line between utility and standout branding.
Yeah, it's going to be a power-packed event. All those tactical sessions, the big names, it's the place to be if you want to dive into the future of tech. Maybe we could see a genuine merging of branding genius and design excellence there.
We'll keep tabs on that for sure, and might find ourselves discussing the next big innovation on the podcast soon. Brand or no brand, a good product is always refreshing.
Couldn't agree more. So let's keep watching the space, or should I say this branded universe, and continue dissecting what's hype versus what really meets the mark in good design.
Absolutely. I'm excited about what's next and hope our listeners are too. Until then, keep thinking critically, folks.
Sounds like a plan. All right, see you next time. So, Kaur, we've been talking watches for quite a while, and just when I think it can't get crazier, Patek's approach to keeping their high prices and exclusivity has me laughing and shaking my head. Policing flippers like it's an FBI sting operation? That's wild.
Right? It's almost like they're running a covert ops team just to keep their watches out of the hands of people who want to resell them. They could be making a heist movie, but instead, it's a luxury watch company keeping eye on serial numbers. It's impressive and kind of creepy at the same time.
You know, this whole thing reminds me of when I tried to get my hands on a limited edition sneaker. The hoops they made you jump through were insane. And to think these watch buyers are doing it just to flaunt old school tech on their wrists.
Exactly. It's the ultimate flex. But the big contrast here is that sneakers may depreciate after the hype dies, but Patek Philippe's approach keeps their values soaring. It's like they've turned old-fashioned, hand-wound watches into a high-stakes game of financial chess.
It's like they read from the playbook of Wall Street itself. Scarcity, allure, and the intense gatekeeping. It's no wonder investment bankers fell for it. Imagine the pressure back in the 80s and 90s. You had to have the latest, sexiest watch. It was a status symbol that spoke louder than a Lambo.
Well, yeah, a Lambo parked in the garage doesn't have quite the same effect in a boardroom as a gleaming Patek Philippe on your wrist, does it? The whole look at me, I'm successful narrative is right there. And the yuppies ate it up.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of this bizarre bubble, the spooky part is how it's maintained. Imagine being a retailer knowing that if your client sells one too many watches on the sly, the whole store could get blacklisted. That's brutal.
It's like metaphorical guillotining in the luxury watch market. But it works because it's not just about wealth. It's about what that wealth signifies. Commitment, loyalty, a certain aristocratic flavor. These brands are painting a whole lifestyle that's inaccessible to the quick flip crowd.
Right. It's like a secret society with Rolex and Omega knocking on the door, but Patek holding the master key. Plus, it's not just a bubble inflated by hype. It's regulated, managed, and subtly controlled. Whoever succeeds their CEO better have the control of a NASA mission director.
If they don't, you're right. The bubble bursts. Tech-savvy kids move on to wristbands that can tell them their blood oxygen levels and how well they sleep. The romance of a hand-wound watch fades. Though, I have to say, there's something so Bond-esque about winding a watch by hand.
Totally. And that tactile, emotional connection to a gadget is something smartwatches just can't compete with. It's why Patek could outlast any trendy tech. But you also have to wonder, how long before the old guard catches up and starts wearing OLED bracelets instead?
That's a good point. When we're all drowning in notifications and buzzing wrists, the mechanical watch might just be the perfect symbol of a simpler, quieter wealth. It's timeless. Pun absolutely intended.
Haha, well played. Let's just hope Patek remembers that at the heart of their allure is the craftsmanship and history, not just the exclusivity tactics. The moment you forget that, you might as well start passing out membership cards at the door.
Indeed, Jack. Or else we'll have AI regulating our wristwear habits in a few years, and that's a whole conversation on its own. Speaking of AI, did you see the latest on autonomous driving tech? Apparently, Momenta's making serious moves.
I did. And it's another perfect example of how these old and new worlds are intersecting. Can't wait to dive into that next. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground today, from the latest advancements in quantum computing and their potential to revolutionize industries, to the ongoing debates about AI ethics and regulations.
Absolutely, Jack. And let's not forget our spirited discussion about the implications of the recent surge in AI-driven automation on the job market and economic policies. It's clear that technology isn't just changing how we do things, but who we are as a society.
I know we got a bit heated over the politics of it all. Thanks for keeping it interesting, Cor. There's nothing like a good debate to keep things lively. That AI regulation segment, man, that got intense.
Well, you know, Jack, differing opinions are what make these conversations worthwhile. As always, it's been a blast dissecting these complex topics with you. Plus, the occasional joke keeps things from getting too serious. Like when you tried to convince everyone that AI is ready to run for office. Good one.
Hey, with the way things are going, you never know. But really, it's been an engaging session, and we hope our audience enjoyed it as much as we did. We want to give a big thank you to all our listeners for tuning in.
Yes, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you found our discussions insightful and maybe even walked away with some new perspectives.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback, don't hesitate to reach out to us on our social media channels. We love hearing from you. Helps keep these discussions fresh and relevant.
Perfectly said, Jack. Until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed, and stay unchained.
See you next time.